But during that process of my deployment, you know, I said, I need something else. Like something is seriously missing. I felt an emptiness, you know, because my grandfather wasn't there. He was my person to go to.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and today is episode 30. And hey, before we jump into our awesome interview going to be with our new special guest, I want to tell you guys, thank you so much. I don't know if you caught it, but if you went to our Facebook page or if we're friends on Facebook, I did post we made number one and number two in the United States for iTunes ranking, which was awesome. I think it was on the 23rd of December, I was number two behind Joel Osteen. And I thought, man, that would be the most impossible thing to catch that guy just because he's got a church, I think, of over 100,000. And before I knew it, I saw on the 24th of December, we were number one in iTunes for about 5 or 6 hours. So anyways, I really want to thank you guys for putting us at number one, even if it was for a couple hours, man. What an honor. So anyways, okay, so today's special guest is Sean Douglas. Sean, you ready to roar, buddy?
Dude, I'm ready, man. I'm pumped.
All right, let's do it. So Sean Douglas was born in Detroit, Michigan, July 23rd, 1983. He is a U.S. Air Force veteran, a certified master resilience trainer, and professional inspirational speaker and author. Sean spent 4 years as a drill instructor in the Air Force basic training, where he developed over 600 young men and women into military leaders. Not surprisingly, he is energetic and passionate about inspiring others to succeed. Sean's interactive training develops a participant's skill in the mental, physical, social, and spiritual domains of resilience and leaves people better equipped to manage change effectively. He is the sole author of his first book entitled Decisions, The Power to Overcome Self-Defeating Behaviors. Sean is a speaker, trainer, coach, and author that inspires the uninspired and motivates you to live your brand so that you can grow personally and professionally. He teaches mental, physical, social, and spiritual resilience skills that empower you to withstand, recover, and grow through the face of adversity, stress, and the changing demands in your life. Sean empowers people and equips them with the tools necessary to live an epic life. Sean, dude, it sounds like you are the man, my friend. So
let's try, bro.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So let's dive into more about what you do in your passion, my friend.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the thing that kept on catching me, I read your bio about 10 times before I ever, because I have a tendency to mess those up. So let's talk about a master resilience trainer. What is that?
So resilience skill sets, and teaching mental, physical, social, and spiritual skills. It basically, a resiliency trainer teaches skill sets, exactly what it says, man. The definition of resilience is to withstand, recover, and grow. And so I train people in those four domains on how to withstand adversity and overcome all odds and withstand stress. And how do we recover from the adversity and the stress that we're facing and then grow from it so that maybe we don't experience it as much, or at least create a buffer between the stress and adversity that happens in our life.
Yeah, I like that. I think a lot of times, here's the thing. No matter what, we're all going to go through things in our lives that are going to be hard. What I've noticed is most people just don't have the skills or the mindset understanding like, hey, how do I deal with this when it comes?
Right.
Okay. So give me a little bit about your journey and how you got into this.
So I was a drill instructor and I found my passion as a speaker and as a trainer. Like I chased those aha moments. And when my time was up, I moved from San Antonio, Texas to Goldsboro, North Carolina, where I'm at now. And I met a guy named Richard Lambert, and he was a community support coordinator. And he said, dude, I have got this job for you, man. He loved my energy, loved my passion, and said, you should teach resilient skills. And I kind of, like, one of the classes that we teach is accomplishing goals, but we put a different spin on it. So instead of just saying, oh, yeah, your goals need to be measurable, optimistic, you know, realistic, you know, whatever, we tie values to those goals. And everything that I teach is based on positive psychology. Everything is fact-based research. This isn't stuff that I just dreamed up one day and says, I'm going to teach this. This is all, you know, years and years of research and all kinds of fact-based positive psychology that's gone into this.
Okay.
So I stepped into it.
I got to this is perfect timing, dude. Wasn't even planning on going there. Okay, so what does everybody do for the new year? They set goals, right?
Oh, dude. Yeah, man, they set the New Year's resolutions like 2 days.
Okay. So let's talk about a goal. Let's walk through the process of a goal, because everyone's going to get this for New Year's. Walk me through the process of setting a goal for the new year.
Okay, let me do the old paradigm versus the new paradigm. You ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. The old paradigm just basically says your goals need to be measurable. Okay, right. I get that. The new paradigm is saying measured against what? Give it a time frame. You know, don't give it a, well, I succeed or I failed. You got to give it a time frame. I say that goals are just dreams with a deadline. That's all they are. So my measurable component of a goal is to basically measure it against, am I going to take me a month or a year or 5 years? And people who do their goals, they sit out and says, I'm going to be successful at my job. That's what I'm going to do. But they don't strip it down. And the old paradigm says, okay, you have to have it realistic. I say, why? Why are you having realistic goals? If you want to walk on the moon, freaking do it. Like, walk on the moon. If your goals don't make other people laugh, and if your goals don't throat punch you, then your goals are not high enough. You know what I'm saying?
Throat punch, dude. I need a throat punch goal. Okay.
You need a throat punch goal. Seriously.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. So what else would you recommend? Okay.
Okay. So when you set up your goals, you need to have a big goal. Like, this is your big goal. So, like, for example, I'm building a 66 Mustang in my garage. I don't say, okay, I'm just going to build this car and I just go to it. You know, do I start at the front? Do I start at the back? Like, you seriously need to strip down your entire goal. And so what I tell people is set daily, weekly, and monthly goals. And then out of your monthly goals, you build a year plan. And then out of that, you build a five-year plan. So, like, I know where I'm going to be in 5 years. I'm going to be retired from the military, right? So I'm going to be figuring out what I'm going to be doing for the next 5 years, which I've already figured all that out. But I worked myself backwards. I knew where I was going to be in 5 years. I know what I want to do now and after the 5 years. So I set these daily, weekly, and monthly goals. And then you have to set your weekly check-ins. The old paradigm is like, oh, well, just, you know, go ahead and, you know, build your goals and then, you know, set these little measurable, you know, things that you have to achieve. But it doesn't say you have to set a weekly check-in. Every Saturday, sit down and say, what did I fail in achieving whatever goal? And then how can I improve for the following week? So you set your daily and weekly goals, but then you have to set your check-in so that you can measure your success.
That's what
I teach people.
So it'd be a lot like if you and I were going to meet and you're going to drive from North Carolina to Amarillo, Texas. You figure it out on a map and then you say, there's my destination. And you just figure it out from there and you backtrack.
Absolutely.
I love it, dude. So, okay. So what has been an inspirational scripture or like success quote? Man, I have the hardest time saying that sometimes. What is a quote for you that has been inspiring over the years?
Oh, my gosh.
Or man. Even right now, man.
Jeremiah 29:11, brother. Oh, man. Like, Jeremiah 29:11 to Jeremiah, like, 29:11 to 29:13 has been, like, I just, every day, man, like, every day, I think about that. I even have it tattooed over my heart, man. I have a cross. It says Jeremiah 29:11. I mean, literally, for he knows our purpose, you know, and I've heard it in the past that the greatest things in life is figuring your purpose and then figuring out how to give the gift away, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes, I like
definitely.
That.
Jeremiah 29:11. And then another one, I have a ring that says 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Because when he lives in us, we have more power than if he just lived in the world and, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So what has those scriptures looked like in your life? Because like a lot of my people that I've interviewed and even myself, those scriptures have a found, they birthed out of something. So what has been part of that journey for you?
Same with, oh, absolutely, man. Like, I went through a huge tragedy, and out of that tragedy and adversity, when I finally overcame that, birthed a passion I never knew I had. So when I think about Jeremiah 29:11, you know, for I know the plans for you, you know, and to help me to prosper you, it was kind of like, okay, God's really not trying to, like, kill my life. That's how I've always felt. You know, I was raised Catholic. And then when I joined the military at 18, you know, I got away from God, and I'm like, eh, I don't need him. You know, it's whatever. And my life sucked. And I was like, oh, God's cursing me, and he's making my life crap, you know. But when I retuned my thinking, you know, and I found out that, you know what, when I read this scripture, I was like, wow, you know what, he's not going to harm me. He's actually going to prosper me. And, you know, he knows everything. Like, God's timing is perfect. So when I read that, it's like a reaffirmation of God's promise to us.
I want to ask you this, Sean. You hit on a really good point. You said, I felt like God was cursing me and basically against you. That's definitely it's a mindset. So where did that mindset change for you and you realize, like, hey, God is actually for me. He's not against me, like the scripture says. Because I think so many people have that mindset. They're like, God's mad at me. He's like, I always use the metaphor, like, he's like Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, like with this beard and this stick, yep. Dude, and he's like going to punish us. And yep. Where was that mindset? Like, where did you finally realize you're like, hey, man, God like really loves me?
Yeah, I always, like I said, cursed God, and I was like, man, this is crazy. And I felt like he was cursing me. Like, I felt like, and you hear this all the time, I felt like he was the kid with a magnifying glass burning ants. Like, yep. You know what I mean? So what happened when, you know, I went through my adversity, I went through my, you know, process of transformation and everything. And then, you know, 2014 was the year that I finally just said, you know what? And I just surrendered my life to Christ. And as I was in that process, after I surrendered my life, I started reading scripture, and I can actually look back and pinpoint every single moment that God was prevalent in my life. I can literally pinpoint, like, yep, that was God. Yep, that was him too. Yep. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So
I want to ask you this. I want to go deep, though, because for you to get to that place of surrender, I think, unfortunately, for so many of us, I mean, for me it was, to surrender means, like, hey, this is really crappy and this isn't working out. And
exactly.
Because that's when you're talking military terms, you being in the military, for somebody to surrender means they're basically getting defeated. Where was that for you in your life?
In 2013, you know, when I was going through the resiliency trainer, because that's what I was a drill instructor from 2009 to 2012. And then in January of 2013, we moved over to Goldsboro. And that's when, you know, about 2 months later, I met, you know, Richard Lambert and got it all hooked up with the resilience program and all that. And then I deployed. Well, about 2 weeks before I deployed in 2013, my grandfather passed away. And he has got to be the holiest man outside of a preacher, father, pastor, whatever, that I could imagine. He was huge in my life. Like, he was the positive driving force in my life. And then 2 weeks after he dies, I have to deploy to the Middle East. So, you know, that whole process as I'm going through this deployment, you know, oh, by the way, my wife is now pregnant. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is too much, man. I can't handle this. So I had about 7 months in the desert to really assess my life. And while I was deployed, my wife found a church, the Bridge Church in Princeton, North Carolina. And she said, oh my gosh, this changed my life. You have to go. I'm like, I am not going to church. But I knew there was something missing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew something was missing. Yeah. And I have a thing about church. Everybody in church is a holiday Christian, right? So, like, I always thought that, you know, once they leave church, it's like, eh, whatever. I got my spiritual fulfillment. I'm good, and I can do whatever I want because, you know, next Sunday I'm going to be saved again, you know. Right. So I had all these, like, preconceived notions. But during that process of my deployment, you know, I said, I need something else. Like, something is seriously missing. I felt an emptiness, you know, because my grandfather wasn't there. He was my person to go to. So I get back from the deployment in April of 2014, and my wife's been going to this church, and then our two-year-old, she's two now, she was born, and she's like, you have to go to this church. And I'm like, I am not going to this church. So finally, I went to the church, and what was he talking about? Money. I'm like, I knew it.
That's just the icing on the cake, right?
I was like, this is why I don't go to church. She goes, no, I swear, please, I swear. You know, I'm like, oh, whatever. So I went about three or four more times, and then in that sermon, he had talked about finding our purpose, and he talked about Jeremiah 29:11. And I'd heard every scripture, like I was raised Catholic, you know. But when he said it, it was that moment that I felt like it applied to my life.
Yeah.
You know? And then he talked about John 3:16. And then he talked about, you know, Philippians 4:23. And then he talked, and like all these famous scriptures I had always heard. Yeah. It was like a compound of all of the famous scriptures all wrapped into one sermon. And I was like, I need this. And then in July of 2014, I said, you know what? I surrender. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm done, man. I can't do this any longer. So that was the process of, you know, in April, we started going to church. And then in July, I'm like, yep, I'm doing this.
Okay. I want to ask you, when you came to the place, so you have skills. So at this point, you're in the military. You're doing training. You're doing resilient skills.
Yep.
2014, you just got saved. So you're like, okay, I surrender. Where was the point where you felt like God was showing you where your passion and your skills start to overlap? Like, you kind of have that moment like, hey, I can do this. Like, this all comes together.
Well, I was a drill instructor, like I said, and after my tragedy and adversity, when I overcame that, my commander was like, dude, you got a powerful testimony, man. You need to leverage that and really go be a drill instructor for basic training. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. I wasn't like the yelling kind. Like, I wasn't like the over energetic, you know. I was just a happy person, you know what I mean? And people knew that I wasn't happy at that time. So I decided, you know what? I'll take my commander's advice. So early 2009, I applied, got it. And when I went down there and I started teaching and training, and I saw young kids coming in going, aha, I get it. You know, I chased that high. I found out down there as a drill instructor that I have a hidden talent and skill that I never knew existed. I never knew I had a passion and energy for speaking and training. And, you know, so if I wouldn't have went through my adversity, I would have never figured it out, because then I wouldn't have a powerful testimony to tell people. Well,
yeah.
As I was a drill instructor, I became a suicide awareness trainer. So on top of, it was like everything was getting compiled out. I was a drill instructor and I was a suicide awareness trainer. And then when I became a resilience trainer, that was just another layer added on to the skills that I developed over that 4 years. When I became, you know, when I surrendered to Christ and I became a for real Christian, you know, this time, you know, I was like, man, I could do this. And then I thought, I'm like, maybe I was a drill instructor and a suicide awareness trainer and a resiliency trainer, and I was developing speaking and training skills to become a pastor. Like what if, because I looked at Jeremiah 29:11 over and over and over and over again, I'm like, for he knows the plans that he has for me. So what if I was supposed to be a pastor and pastor a church and bring the word? Like, what if that's my passion or purpose or whatever is supposed to happen? Well, fast forward 2 years, I've already spoken at numerous, numerous churches bringing the word, and I love it. So,
man, that's exciting. I mean, I just love the, so you didn't even chase after, I guess, your passion. You just kind of fell into it. So it sounds like to me, once you kind of surrendered, God opened doors for you, and then you started to realize your passion.
Absolutely. I had that passion already as a drill instructor. Man, I was awesome. Like, I blew it out of the water. I rocked it every time. You know, I pushed 10 flights of about 50 to 60 young men and women And that was for 2 years. And then the other 2 years I spent at War Skills teaching them, you know, how to shoot the M16 and how to survive, self-aid buddy care training, how to deploy, you know, just different war skills that we teach, you know, integrated based defense. You know, we teach them how to defend their area and how to defend against attacks and, it, you know, all this stuff. So, you know, out of that 4 years, I taught a lot of different skills and I had a passion for it. I didn't have a passion for outside of the military, though. That was the thing. I didn't have it outside of the military. I loved what I was doing. But when I surrendered, I was like, dude, I could do this, like, outside of the military. Like, oh, my gosh. I never thought that I would get paid as a speaker. And now I am. I'm paid as a speaker.
Man, I love it. Okay. So what do you feel like your biggest strength is in what you do?
Dude, my passion and energy. Dude, I am dynamic, and I get crazy, and I get super hyped up. And I'm like, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm doing my training, I get everybody pumped up, man.
Okay. So within that, there sometimes is a weakness. So I feel like I do the same thing sometimes. What do you feel like that weakness is within your strength?
Closing the deal, man. I open up with a powerful opening, you know, and people are like, yes, you know, and then I have a great message, man. I've spent so much time developing my message. I never developed my close. You know what I mean? I'm like, you got to do this and you have to be awesome. Thank you. There's no throat punch at the end. So I'm working on my throat punch.
That's awesome. You say that. So there's been so many times where I've spoken at church or different churches, and I have forgotten literally to close out. So one of my favorite recently was the pastor asked me to do communion, and I usually talk just a little bit right before we do communion, we'll talk. And I think it might have been the first time he had asked me at this church we were at. And he looks at me, and I can see him. He's like sitting two rows back, and he's like looking at me. He's like, pray, dude, pray, pray. And I'm like, oh, yeah, and let's pray first. I mean, it was like totally – there's like 300 – there's 300 people there, dude, and I totally had like a brain fart. I'm like, oh, yeah, we should pray before we take communion. I'm like, how awesome is that? So
– yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, man, I've been there where you just stop. And you're staring, and you think it's been like forever, and the audience is staring back, and then you get like this awkward moment where you're just staring, and you're like, "Yeah, so let's do this," you know? And everyone's like, "Okay," it's like a sigh of relief. Yeah, man.
You know what's been comforting to me? There's a guy. If you listen to Bethel Church out of Redding, California, and I recommend. Okay,
so I'm aware of it.
They're phenomenal. Chris Valentin is one of their head guys over there, and I love that guy because he is worldwide, speaks all over the world. A lot of people know who he is. He's inspiring. He's fantastic. And what I love about him is you just – what you see is what you get. When that guy talks behind a mic, he'll literally be like, oh, well, I probably shouldn't have said that. Or he'll say some of the stupidest things. And it's like so relieving as somebody who's coming up learning how to speak – and being a speaker and doing even podcasting different things. Cause I'm like, if somebody at that level can just be them and totally screw things up, I'm like, why can't I?
Right. He's so authentic.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. There's no, like, you're right, man. What you see is what you get. You know, he's completely the same all the time. So
yeah. So that's inspiring. Okay. What's the biggest thing right now that you feel like God's stirring inside of you with what you're doing?
Oh man, dude. So in January, I'm launching an online radio station because I kind of wanted to do a podcast, but I kind of want to merge because I looked at doing like a radio show, but they're so expensive and it's only local. So I have a pastor friend named Robert Thibodeau. He's in Maryland and he owns a radio station called Evangelism Radio. And so I'm partnering with him and I'm going to have my own radio show on Wednesdays called Transformation Radio. I have a Skype telephone number. People can call in and talk to the guests or whatever, but it's that transformation that we're talking about. Like, where were you before? Where are you now? And how did this all happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I put that in my heart to be and to really, because I told my wife, I said, I'm toying with the idea of like, why not try pastoring? Like, I'm already speaking. I'm already like energetic and engaging, and I get booked every place, you know, and I was like, why not try it just one time? She was like, I am not a pastor's wife. Oh, no. Like, all right, then. So, I don't know.
Well, that's exciting, man. I mean, God's bringing you guys into stuff. You don't know until you try it. And it's not so much failing is trying new things and say, hey, does this fit me?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So in the military or the different things that you do, you know, the gospel tells us to share the gospel, to share the love of Christ, to be that example. But not all of us are called to be behind a pulpit. And not all of us are evangelists. How do you live that out in your everyday life, whether at work or in your family? What does sharing the gospel look like in your life?
Our church, the Bridge Church, we have something called, well, we have a military ministry. It's called Call to Arms. And every fourth Saturday, we have all of the military that attend our church. And we invite all the military, like, from the area. And we just fellowship on a Saturday. We'll do like a chili cook-off or a scavenger hunt, or we'll watch like a religious movie like, you know, God's Not Dead 2. Either way, we come together. We'll do like a game night where people bring like Xboxes, PlayStations, board games, whatever. But we just get all of the military together and the families and the kids. And every fourth Saturday we do that. It's called Call to Arms. And that's our military ministry that we're a part of at our church. Also on the first and third Sundays, my wife and I host a life group. It's called, we do basically a small group, home group, Bible study. Right now, we're actually in the Fireproof series, and we're doing Fireproof Our Marriage with our life group. So we're a marriage, like a couples group. Every day, you know, I try to talk to somebody about church. I invite people to church, but those two big things, every fourth Saturday and then the first and third Sunday, you know, when we do our military ministry and our life group.
Okay. I like that, man. It's really good. Hey, one thing I want to ask you about, I always ask listeners about a good book that they're reading or in the middle of, but you mentioned during the beginning, I'm sorry, you didn't mention, I did, that you are an author of your book. Share with me a little bit about your book and why I need to read it.
Everybody has self-defeating behaviors. Everybody. I don't care who you are, whether it be a smoker, a drinker, you swear a lot, you self-talk yourself out of dreams. I know people who sabotage themselves. Like, they literally sabotage themselves to the point where, like, you know what? I'm going to do this. No, I can't do that. No, I'm not going to do this. No. And then they have a relationship, you know, and they find reasons to destroy that relationship. Like, nope, he doesn't love me enough, or nope, it's too good to be true. And that's like the worst thing you could ever do. So my book basically talks about the different types of self-defeating behaviors. One of the ones that I had was counting other people's blessings rather than seeing the blessings in my own life.
Yeah.
So you know, some of the Psalms that we read talk about that, you know? And my book is basically an autobiographical approach to how you overcome self-defeating behaviors. And the one way that we can overcome those is surrendering our life to Christ. So every chapter has two inspirational quotes and then a Bible scripture. Every single chapter is structured that way. And how God has woven himself throughout my life and how I've seen it in other people's lives. So yeah, the book is amazing, amazing. And I've gotten great reviews, all 5-star reviews on Amazon. And people have told me, like, dude, your book has changed my life. My pastor used my book in one of his sermons. Like, my book was used in his sermon. And, like, I put a ton of copies in a church bookstore, and they all sold out in, like, a week or two. It was amazing.
Man, that's really exciting. Okay. I want to ask you, if you could go back to the younger you, do you remember the movie Big with Tom Hanks?
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yep.
You get to do that. So you get to go back to the younger you, except the difference is you get to pick the age. What age would you go back to, and what would you tell yourself?
I thought about that, and I'm not sure that I could do that, right? I mean, if I had to pick one, it would probably be that time where I was, you know, the most messed up, you know, like I was an alcoholic. I had thoughts of suicide and even attempted it. You know what I mean? So I could go back to that point, but, you know, I have to feel like God's timing is perfect and God puts us through everything on purpose. So it'd be really hard for me to go back and mess with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I guess not so much to mess with it, but what advice would you give yourself? So you talked about you'd go back to that place where you were suicidal and angry and your lows to lows. What, knowing now what you didn't know then, what would you tell yourself as that drill instructor, inspirational speaker? Like, what are you going to say to you to get through whatever you're about to go through?
Dude, you know what? You're going to overcome this. And I know that the grass doesn't always look green, but if you water your side of the grass, you won't have to look over the fence. Yes. So, dude, man, you have to pour into yourself first before you can help everybody else. That's what I used to do, man. I used to pour out so much, but never pour into myself. So I would tell myself, definitely get into your self-development and take care of you first. So
that's great advice. I want to ask you for one more piece of parting advice that you would like to give our listeners as we jump out of this. What would you tell our listeners that maybe are going through a hard time in their life right now or having a hard time? You know, let's just even dive into going into the new year. A lot of times it's an exciting time, but a lot of people feel defeated. What would you tell them?
Okay. Every major company has a board. Every major CEO has board meetings that meet and talk about last quarter sales, first quarter sales, you know, next quarter growth, this quarter growth, you know, all that. So if you're the CEO of your life, why are you not building a board of directors for your life? I have a board of directors in my spiritual area, my financial area, my speaking area, professional, personal relationships. I have a person or a couple people or mentors, especially God is the number one on my board of directors. I have areas and places that I can go to, people that I can talk to that will elevate my life. So if every major CEO and every major company has a board meeting and has a board of directors set up to excel, then why are we not doing the same thing?
That's
build yourself
great.
A board of directors and be relentless in the pursuit of your dreams and goals. Be relentless and never let up.
Man, I love that advice, dude. That's it. Oh, you got me excited, dude. I'm ready to go do something today, man. I tell you what.
Yeah, man.
So, let's do it. All right. Sean, where do we find you for our listeners and people that want to book you, whether at church or to come speak an event, anything like that? How do we find you?
Yeah, easiest way is Facebook. My Facebook is Sean Douglas Speaks, S-E-A-M. I'm redoing my website. I'm rebranding my website right now. And I'll post it up, you know, on my Facebook page. And I have a LinkedIn account that you can find me on. But yeah, man, send me a message on Facebook, facebook.com/Sean Douglas Speaks. And I respond all the time. And you can just book me now. There's a book now button that'll take you to a landing page that you can book me with until my website is complete.
Fantastic. Listeners, I will be putting that on our resource page on Sean's show notes. So everything, if you can't remember any of that stuff, we will have that. Just go on to areyoureal.org. That'll be on there. Hey, Sean, one thing that I do for all my listeners is I pray for them before the show starts. And sometimes I just, whether it's a vision or a word from the Lord, I just wanted to share that with you real quick. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
So I saw you. I could not get the vision out of my head of you just standing. It was a spiritual vision of like, on a spiritual side of you just standing amongst a group of people spiritually, okay? And I just heard the Lord said that you are a spiritual general, that you lead people into the fullness of what Christ created them to be. And then I saw you with a sword, and you were cutting through the hardness of the hearts, and you were allowing God's Spirit to minister to what seemed impossible was now possible in people's lives because you were cutting through the hardness of their hearts.
Wow. Dude, I'm so pumped, man. that fueled me, man.
Awesome, dude. I'm glad.
Wow.
I love it. So absolutely. Sean, hold on for just a minute, man, before we take off.
Yeah.
Listeners, thank you so much for jumping on. Again, I want to thank you for making us number one and number two in iTunes in the nation. I cannot believe that. It was such an honor. And guys, man, I love having you here. Please share, review. I do need a lot more reviews to keep us up there. And anything that you need from us, please send us an email. If there's a guest or a listener that you want to hear on our show, or you feel like somebody would be a perfect fit, send it my way. I would love to have them and interview them. So remember, guys, at the end of the day, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.